So we had a big, long Eli Manning conversation yesterday. Many people are having it across North America, and it's a lot of it has been he's announcing his officially announcing his retirement today. But a lot of it is put into the context of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What has your reaction been to the conversation parsing Eli Manning's career over the last couple of days?
Well, I just think when you factor in just the longevity of his career and the consecutive game streak, the fact that he won two Super Bowls, aside from his completion percentage and passer rating throughout the regular season, I think just those three statistics, his amount of games played, streak, and the two Super Bowls puts him in the Hall of Fame without a doubt.
I don't want to be overly critical here. We went through his passer rating year over year of every single season of his career, and he was only inside the top 10 once, and it was seventh in 2011 when he was between Matt Schaub and Alex Smith. And I just, like, and this isn't to kiss your ass, I swear to God, but, like, I think of you when you were at your best as better than Eli Manning at his best. And, yeah, like, no one's ever pushed you for the Hall of Fame.
Maybe that's what we should be doing right now.
I'm just saying, like, it's...
Yeah.
here's the thing. I would feel more comfortable. Carson Palmer, Cincinnati, Carson Palmer, 2015 Arizona. Like, those are better versions I've ever seen than Eli Manning ever was during a regular season. I'm sorry. It's factually true. Like, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, Carson.
What's also factually true is he has in a safe two Super Bowl rings.
But that's what you get. That's what you get for winning those things. Why do they automatically qualify you for getting in the Hall of Fame? Like, it's like you were a solid quarterback who was incredible at staying healthy. You lasted a long time. You had the last name Manning, and you played in New York, and you won against the best team of all time.
And you were great in those games.
And you were, well, especially the second year. The first one, it was like, man, it was more about the defense. It's like, that's what you get. The reward is the rings. The reward is that legacy. Why do we have to let you into Canton when you were never a top 10 quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I get the argument. At the end of the day, people talk about Super Bowl championships.
Yeah.
And when he was on that stage, he out-dueled twice the best to probably ever play the game in Tom Brady against the Patriots. So it's a great topic. It's a great argument. I understand both sides of it. But in today's NFL and yesterday's NFL, you are strictly guided on championships, and he's got two.
Yeah, no, it's true, and a lot of people feel that way. Speaking of Tom Brady, we had Jason Lacanfora on yesterday who wrote a piece about, you know, breaking down where the quarterbacks could land if Brady does, in fact, leave New England, which I think more and more people are, you know, at least envisioning the possibility as the days go by. Do you understand the mindset that Brady might have after the six Super Bowls, all the success in New England, the mindset that he might have to at least listen and be open to free agency?
Oh, for sure. I mean, just watching him last year with some of the talent he had around him. I know N'Keal Harry was a young guy out of Arizona State. It was a late first-round pick that never really came on and really produced. Julian Edelman had a good year, but at the end of the day, Julian Edelman's no Julio Jones, Amari Cooper type. I just think watching him play at age 42 with pretty average talent around him, I just think he really saw it this year for the first time. It was like, man, I at this age, at my ability level right now, he needs a legit number one, an A.J. Green type, a Travis Kelce in the slot at tight end, George Kill. He just needs some talent and some freakishly good talent around him. He doesn't have the same zip. He doesn't have the same athletic ability that he had years ago. So I think he's looking at this at this stage in his career going, man, you know, I need some elite players around me, and that they're not in New England. And unfortunately, you don't just find those guys in New England overnight. So I definitely think he's looking around. I think he's sniffing around other teams, looking at offensive lines, looking at salary caps, looking at who they have in the backfield at the tailback position. I just think he's definitely sniffing around and looking for an opportunity that he looks at and goes, man, these guys are one piece away. These guys are one guy away, and it's a quarterback, and I can get them there. So I definitely think those thoughts are going through his head.
Yeah, there's that, and there's also the idea of maybe being courted by some other team, listening to other teams' pitches, and you played for a couple of different teams. But, yeah, you were traded a couple of times. You signed extensions with teams while you were there. You did sign a one-year deal with the Cardinals. Did you talk to any other teams in that offseason? Like, you never really had a free agency, did you?
Nobody ever let me get to free agency, unfortunately. And this is Tom's first time. So, you know, when you're under contract, you can kind of sniff around and reach out to other teams subliminally, I guess would be the best way to say it, and see who might be interested in the trade. But when you're a free agent, it's no holds bar. You can go wherever you want. You can take visits. You can go talk to coaches. You can go play golf with guys and other teams and talk about the players and their team. And, you know, you can really do your research. And really, when I was saying sniff around, I mean, you can go and look at salary caps and talk to GMs about who they might cut, who they're trying to add, what money they're going to allocate to the running back position or the offensive tackle position. I mean, you can really do your due diligence. So, you know, I think that's part of the phase he's going through right now. And it's just crazy to think that his first crack at free agency and first opportunity was at age 42.
Yeah, and I can't help but think, like, watching this, at least seeing what this Super Bowl matchup is about Mahomes and his potential legacy of what he could accomplish with that team, with that offense, with that arm and all that ability. Like, if he knocks off Super Bowl, his first Super Bowl win in what is, like, his second full season, like, what do you think we're looking at here, like, legacy potential-wise?
Well, he's you know, in the midst of doing something that's never been done before. I mean, that first year when he had 50 touchdowns, unfortunately, I think this year he missed 2.5 games or maybe 3 games with a knee injury and still threw 30-something touchdowns, 34 touchdowns or something like that. But those numbers they just haven't been seen before. And to win his first Super Bowl potentially at age, I think he's 24 or 25, you haven't seen that combination of just eye-popping statistics and a Super Bowl ring to go along with it in your mid-20s. I mean, you saw Brady win his first Super Bowl in his mid-20s, but he wasn't, at that time in his career, he wasn't throwing the football the way that Patrick Mahomes is, and he wasn't throwing the ball in the end zone 50 times a year. He was part of great Belichick defenses and back in the day with Corey Dillon in the backfield and Kevin Falk and some of the great players he had, Deion Branch on the outside. But you're seeing Patrick Mahomes do something at an age, potentially to get a Super Bowl ring at an age that you just don't really see guys win one at, but also just blowing people out of the water statistically.
Well, yeah, and you and I are both huge Russell Wilson fans, but like the Super Bowl that he won, I think around the same age, it's like that wasn't a Russell Wilson team. Like that was the defense team and that was a beast mode team. And like now it's his, but it wasn't at the time. Mahomes is already like that group's identity. And yeah, man, he's 24 years old. And you mentioned the touchdown passes and that we're really a D Ford, like offside or neutral zone infraction away from him being in two straight Super Bowls.
And maybe, winning though. I think he could have scored seasons, like, 13 points against the Rams too, probably in that Super Bowl.
Rams probably would have scored more against that defense, but still, like they would have been favored in that game. Like it's wild to think about where he can kind of stack up at if he stays healthy and what he's going to be able to do. And by the way, now basically this whole interview, I've just been looking at your numbers versus Eli's numbers. And like, let's just say like Eli never had a 2015, like Carson Palmer leading the league, 4 game winning drives, career totals, 35 game winning drives to 37 with Eli, like Eli playing more years. Like, I'm just saying it's like Eli never went 13-3, never led the league in yards gained per completion. Like, those things never happen. So I'm just saying.
I appreciate the hype, though. Yeah. Okay, look, I appreciate the hype. But you're on to something, too. I think when we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, pretty soon they're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes $30 million a year, maybe $35 a year. You all of a sudden, you got to cut Travis Kelce or you got to cut Tyreek Hill. You got to get rid of Sammy Watkins. I mean, we are seeing Patrick Mahomes play at a very, very elite level, maybe one that we haven't seen before. But pretty soon that whole landscape changes. When they have to pay Patrick, they're going to have to cut some guys, maybe some guys on defense. They're going to have to cut some of those skill position guys that, you know, Tyreek Hill's up for a contract. Sammy Watkins is making $8 or $9 million a year. Those guys, they don't have the luxury of having those guys on the team standing there next to Patrick Mahomes in the huddle as soon as Patrick Mahomes is the highest paid player in the game. So we are seeing something truly special and unique. And part of it is because of the way their salary cap is structured, they can afford to keep these great players around them right now.
Yeah, and Chris Jones is a free agent this year. And, like, how important was it that he was in that last game? And how much time did we spend talking about how the Chiefs just need him in the middle for just, interior pass rush and being able to slap the run game? And, they'll probably lose him.
Totally.
Like, it's it's really going to be really, really difficult for them to give Chris Jones a contract. And yeah, that defense is going to get, it's going to be harder and harder to keep guys there. What are you most interested in when it comes to this matchup?
Just watching Patrick Mahomes play against this defensive front. I mean, this defensive front in San Fran is something. It's another thing. It's something we haven't seen before. I mean, you got four top five picks. They went out and signed Frank Clark to a big deal. I mean, this is a phenomenal defensive front and one that you just don't get a chance to see. I mean, I think three guys that were drafted in the top five. Is that true in San Francisco? I mean, that's just along the defensive front. You just don't see that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him try to get away with some of the things he got away with last week in the AFC Championship game. I just don't think he can run around and have as much freedom outside the pocket that we've seen him all year long with this kind of speed on defense that they're playing against. I mean, Kwon Alexander runs 4-3 at middle linebacker. He'll probably be in a spy-type situation where he's really just locked on Mahomes most of the game. I just don't think you're going to be able to see him get away with the things he's gotten away with his legs. He's really going to have to win this one with his arm.
Speaking of winning it with his arm, Jimmy Garoppolo obviously didn't do that in the NFC Championship game. Didn't have to. That run game is so good. Do you think he can, though, if he has to next Sunday?
You know, I didn't until I saw him do it this year. There was a handful of games where he just took over. I was watching him play against the Arizona Cardinals early on, and Arizona had a lead. He found a way. He just kept making plays on third down, third and eight, third and 12, third and 15. At the end of games, I felt like I just kept seeing him make these spectacular plays to keep his team going and go down and score. So, you know, before this season, I think like everybody, you just weren't sure what you're getting, but I've seen enough. I'm a Jimmy Garoppolo believer. They are limited outside at the receiver position. I mean, outside of Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle, they don't really have a ton of guys that worry you. But that running game is so unique and so good that they're going to have to rely on that. But I've seen enough, I think, from Jimmy to know that he can win the game if he needs to.